Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another edition of Rural Route, the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, we do it Monday through Friday anyway. And what we do when we gather is continue to address the issues between rural and urban America. Happens to be a absolutely wonderful 3-day harvest moon season here in central Nebraska. What's it like in rural New Jersey, J.C. Cole?
It's okay. You know, it's the weather's good. We a little bit dry, but not too bad. The grass is still growing, which keeps me quite busy.
Weren't you just whining about it like a 6-inch storm, and now you're talking about being dry? You are a farmer, never happy with the weather.
Right. That was a week ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So I wanted to start off with my homework, which was my trivia question, because okay. It kind of leads into the entire discussion, I think. Okay, so actually today, September the 22nd, was kind of boring in history.
I noticed.
But September 23rd, tomorrow, in 1779, was an important military battle for the Americans.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to come up with this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, I skipped a day ahead, so you couldn't necessarily research.
Yeah, I never look at this day in history tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. Looking over those histories, all you see, it's a very strange mixture, but you see wars going back to, you know, like 10 AD,
right?
Last week, you know, it was like the 1600s when the Swedes invaded Riga, Latvia. Now, I don't think anybody would be really excited about that.
No. But I do know some interesting day in history for yesterday, the 21st day of September.
Which is?
3 significant natural disasters, if you want to call them that, hurricanes, killed over 600 people in each one. But they all 3 happened on September 21st throughout the course of history.
Yeah. Strange things are afoot.
Yeah.
Right. So
back to 1779. What battle are we talking?
John Paul Jones aboard the USS Bonhomie Richards defeated the British frigate, the HMS Serapis, right? And that's where the famous saying came out, "I have not yet begun to fight."
Oh.
And so that kind of leads into what ended up happening was Jones's ship ended up getting pummeled. And he lashed it to the side of the British ship. And the Americans basically boarded the British ship after fights going back and forth and took command of the British ship. And Jones's ship sank later on, but he returned victorious with the British ship. And that changed a good amount of the war, because apparently then the French decided to start funding our Navy. But his famous saying, "I have not yet begun to fight."
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, when are the Americans going to wake up and begin to fight? Now, that doesn't mean violence.
Right.
That means fighting back, waking up. And then, of course, I come to my often stated Sun Tzu's, "The supreme art of war is to subdue the enemy without fighting." And it looks like we're being subdued. People need to wake up. I think I've said numerous times we're at war, and it's a clandestine war. But if we look back in March of this year, retired 3-star General Thomas McInerney said, "We are at World War III. We did not have a pandemic a year ago. We had a biological attack on the whole world. It was intentionally done by the CCP." Right? And Now, I think we can expand that to end the deep state. And McInerney calls it a hybrid war combining biological, cyber, intelligent warfare tactics, techniques being applied to us, right? And now if we look, that's true. And then one of the things I have a problem is that most Americans think that our government is a one homogeneous, huge entity, but it's not. It's fractured. And in fact, our government has been infiltrated a long, long time ago. Now, if we look, Lenin said the best way to control the opposition is to lead it ourselves. And all you have to do is look at Congress. Mm-hmm. You go, wait, which are any of you on the side of the people, right? And this will be a shocker. I would say most of the people listening to this today are conservative. So probably would lean.
I would guess.
Yeah, lean towards the Republican side. It will come out, if you haven't already figured it out, it will come out that George Bush Sr. was one of the most evil people in the world. And George Bush Sr. controlled the White House for almost or over 30 years. This will come out, right? I know it's hard to say, but once you start to look at the evidence, you'll see it. He controlled the two Reagan administrations right after Reagan was attempted assassinated by Hinckley Jr. Well, Hinckley Sr. was a partner with George Bush.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oops. And then you get to Clinton. Clinton was a slacky of George Bush for decades. That link is in there too.
So if I were to be a skeptic, I'm not, but I'm going to play devil's advocate. If George Bush Sr. had that much control, then why did he lose the election?
My understanding, and of course it's only an understanding, is Ross Perot came in and started to beat him on the Republican side.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you remember something very strange, Ross Perot's numbers were coming in staggering, and all of a sudden he stepped out. Now, I think we can assume Ross Perot is a very smart guy, right? So why did he step out? And then after his daughter got married, he stepped back in, right? This is history. And so it turned, the rumors are that the Bush cabal had threatened to take out the wedding party. So Perot stepped out, had the wedding, stepped back in, and basically split the Republican ticket enough that Clinton came in. Of course, that went back to Lenin. The way to control the opposition is lead ourselves.
Right.
So if you look, Clinton was the governor of the 49th poorest state at that time, Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how could he win being the president of the United States unless he was funded? Right. And so this is all documented, I'm pretty sure, in The Rise of the Fourth Reich by Jim Mars. Right? And you start to look at this and just look at what Bush's history was. He was the head of the CIA. Okay. He was reported in Dallas on the grassy knoll. Right. Although he claims he doesn't remember where he was when Kennedy was shot. I remember where I was. I was six. Right. And he was the first ambassador to China when Nixon did the ping pong diplomacy. And where did all our jobs go? China. And then all you have to do is add in that 11 years to the day on September 11th, before 9/11, George Bush Sr. gave his famous New World Order speech.
I want to go find that. Can you watch that?
Yeah, sure. You just. I won't. I almost said that word. Just. Yeah.
Okay, I'm censoring you. I'm shutting you off. It is right. Rural Route, J.C. Coleweed, just like that. Have flown through the first segment. We'll take a break. Lone Creek Cattle Company providing the opportunity for cattlemen to get paid properly from the consumer to the cattle producer. In the middle here, Lone Creek has put together a system with Piedmontese genetics, and I've got a nice little video that I'm going to be able to produce this week of these Piedmontese calves. Get more details about how you can add $180 premium on top of the market price from Marlon Will. He's got all the details at www.lonecreekcattleco.com. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more facts of history that you don't know or forgot after this. Yeah, I just want to add the topic of the day for me is that people are taking zinc. And we saw that with Andrew Henderson today on Across the Pond, where he is now bedridden. I don't want to say he's bedridden. He doesn't feel well. He's been tested positive. But zinc is a key. And animal products offer the best available zinc of any nutritional option that you have. So choose lamb, beef, pork, chicken. They are all at the top end of the zinc availability. Welcome back. Rural Route, Trent Luce, alongside with the president of the George Bush Senior Fan Club.
Oh, thank you very much. If you hear the black helicopters, I'm going to cut off the interview real quick.
Yeah. So, if you hear the black helicopters, you won't have to turn anything off.
That's true.
It'll be dark.
Right. So getting back to, you know, General McEnany has said we're in a hybrid warfare. And if we actually look at it, we've discussed it. Our health is being attacked. Our food is being attacked. Our water is being attacked, our energy. There's a psyop being run on us, right? There's our social structures being attacked. Our electricity is being attacked, right? Our infrastructure, right? And we have an illegal invasion coming from a bunch of different areas, right? And of course, our money. And actually, that's one of the things I wanted to talk on, because that I had a little more experience than most in that, you know, I've been through 5 banking crashes. And I'll honestly tell you, is almost the first one, I had a full year, my customers paid me 1 year in advance, and that was sitting in the bank for only a week before I could do something with it. And I was at a meeting. I was running the meeting at 8 o'clock in the morning, and one of the directors said, by the way, my contact said, you know, this bank is going down. My contacts from the Department of Defense said, this bank is going down. And that was the bank I had my money in. And I almost lost my breakfast on the table for a meeting I was running. Mm-hmm. I did everything possible. I kept my cool. I realized it's 8 o'clock in the morning. There wasn't anything you could do about it. Finished the meeting. And then I ran and I immediately took my money out of the bank, or transferred it. And I was able to avert that, and the bank went down a week later. Right. So people don't understand that when the bank goes down, it happens so fast, you can't react. And now cleverly in 2014, they changed the banking laws. And so did the IMF, where they said, when you deposit money, and you can web search this, when you deposit money in a bank, it becomes the bank's property, not yours. They changed that law. So you don't own the money in the bank. The bank owns the money, and you're like fourth or fifth in line if the bank goes down. Right. So
that's comforting.
Yeah, but that's the law. And they changed the law at the end, you know, it was like December of 2014, and nobody knows about it. And people think, well, I have FDIC insurance. Well, FDIC covers just a tiny fraction of what isn't deposited in banks. Just a tiny fraction. If you had major banks go down, there is no insurance. Right. So it really comes down to, and now we see that the the petrodollar is under attack. We simply don't know, you know, when it will happen. But we see these financial games, And, you know, and that leads to what's happening right now in China, where the Evergrande suspended trading of all bonds, where they're in debt, what, $300 billion as a private company, which is staggering. I have difficulty wrapping my head around that. And that some people believe it may be, and they declared this on the 13th year, 13 years to the day after the Lehman Brothers failed. And you go, isn't that a little suspicious? Right on the day.
Everything happens to the day of some other event. That's not suspicious right. at all.
And so many people feel that this may be the Lehman moment for China, and that it may be the financial dominoes may fall and affect the Western world. We simply don't know at this time.
So actually this morning, JC, I read a very interesting Epoch Times story, which I consider to be one of the more credible places to read stuff. And it was talking about today, the CCP, China's Communist Party, and their push for a Mao-type statehood, which is more hardcore communism. But the financial aspect of that is what I found most interesting, because there was many things that were involved in that, including if you're a guy and you're not masculine, you can't be in Hollywood, or, well, their version of Hollywood in movies or film anymore. But they're building their third financial institution that they think will take over Wall Street. They have a serious labor problem that the young people of today are, they have a term for it, but it's basically laying down. They just prefer to lay down all day rather than go to work. And so they've changed their policy where now you can have three kids because they don't think they've got a workforce. There's so many interesting financial aspects to this story. It was just fascinating.
And you add in that they had 2 years of severe rain, and it's reported by one group, and it's very hard to verify everything, but one group saying that they were short food production for something like 700 million people that they have to buy food for. And so they're going to the rest of the world buying food. And if you look, what are the U.S. sales in corn to China? And so, you know, this comes.
Well, just to interrupt you, corn, it's up significantly, but they've always been a good customer of corn. Beef is the untold story. Greg Dowd, who by the way, was the negotiator with China for the China trade deal, he said that where China was really non-existent in the beef purchasing, beef customer business in the past, in 2021, they're on pace to import $1.2 billion worth of U.S. beef.
Yeah. And so, you know, we have to look at this global issue that are going on. And then, you know, we come back to what can we do about it personally?
Right.
Now, of course, a few of the people, you know, Americans are watching that our federal government is a looming shutdown. That if they don't solve the problem by October 1st, there won't be any money for the federal government to use. And apparently the House of Representatives have passed a deal, and in the deal, have passed it in the House, is that the debt ceiling is extended till after the election of 2022.
Imagine that.
Right. And it looks like our debt is someplace around $28 trillion. But notice nobody discusses the government's liabilities. And I haven't seen it in a while, but the last time I saw it was in the hundreds of trillions. Because liabilities and debts are two different things. You know, a debt is an official, sign for, you owe this money. Liabilities are, you have 2 or 3 million military that you're going to have to pay. That's the liability. And so our liabilities are just stunning. And anybody who looks at this just goes, look, this mathematically cannot be solved. Right. So, and it's almost like the whole world, almost all the governments are in the exact same position. They can't solve their financial issues. So something else is going to have to happen. And we need to be prepared for that.
That's the thing, is that it's just artificial in every country. It's not just the United States. This has been going on globally.
Correct. Correct. And it's almost like everybody, it's almost like the governments have all agreed to keep the monopoly game running.
Mm-hmm.
Even though anybody who looks at the monopoly game knows that at some point when it breaks, it'll be devastating. And that leads to, what are they seeing that they don't care about the monopoly game?
If you play Monopoly long enough, you end up in jail. You can't avoid it.
Well,
it is Rural Route, and we will start when we come back with the third segment. JC Cole will say, well, do you know? And then he'll finish that up. Before I let you go, I want to remind you that Protect the Harvest does a great job. Yesterday's email newsletter focuses on families, identifying families that are out there in the trenches doing the things that need to be done to provide this financial stability, if we could just get government out of the way. But that's exactly what Protect the Harvest does, is works with you to keep the government at bay and puts property rights at the top of the list. Get more details about how you can simply be a part of the network and get information from the source. It's called Protect the Harvest, and it's on the web at protecttheharvest.com. Second half of Rural Route with J.C. Cole. And he starts with, did you know, after this. Welcome back. Rural Route, Trent Luce alongside J.C. Cole, joining us from New Jersey. All right. I promised.
Okay.
Start your sentence. Did you know?
Did you know that in the Monopoly game, in the rules of the Monopoly game, okay, you as an individual player, if you run out of money, you go bankrupt and you're kicked out. But if the bank goes bankrupt, they get to start fully funded with the same amount as at the beginning of the game. And you're going, holy cow, they've been training us for all these years on this.
Yeah.
And you're there like, I can't believe this, but yeah, the banks get just refunded again, mm-hmm. and go on. And so, we're at a position, we're in uncharted waters, and what can we do? And we see different areas getting hit. I didn't hear what you and Andrew got to discuss, but you see that the price of natural gas in Britain has multiplied threefold?
And so we didn't talk about that today, but for 2 days previous we talked about that, not in the context of what natural gas was costing, but how the Guardian and other entities are now saying that we're short of CO2.
Yes.
So we spent the last 10 years coming up with plans and providing incentives for people to bury CO2 and get rid of it because it's some toxic substance, completely ignoring the fact that it's an essential element. And now they are reporting, I can't verify this, they're reporting that 100,000 pigs are jamming up their systems because the farmers are either going to have to euthanize them or do something else because they can't take them to their normal slaughter facilities. Because they have no CO2.
Yeah, but did you take that the next step?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm sitting there going, okay, what, I got the same thing, that the weekly chicken output dropped 10 to 15%.
Right.
And Christmas turkey production will drop by one fifth. Right. And then they're like, wait a minute, we culled chickens. What? We didn't use CO2. What's the CO2 for? This CO2 apparently is to stun the birds.
The CO2 is used because it's the humane way to euthanize an animal.
Yeah, but But, you think about that. Exactly. Correct. They're saying, well, it's the humane way to stun them. I go, did you ever hear of baseball bat? I mean, did you guys ever have chickens? Right. And when we hear, when my local farmer, he'll call, a few hundred, they don't stun the birds.
No.
Right?
No.
And so.
Well, yeah, actually they do stun the birds.
Well,
they don't do it with a gas. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Right. And so if you actually look at it, they're saying, okay, they didn't put it in writing, but humanely we can't do this. So instead we'll starve the humans.
Right.
And that's very humane. Right. And you go, wait.
Well, no, you're really onto something here. Excuse me. I got so excited about what you're onto. I got all choked up. The animal's going to die.
Yes.
And if you don't do it in a facility where you can take the product and feed people, somebody's going to shoot them. And then they're going to bury them. And it's like, what have you accomplished? You still have the animal dying.
Right. So in my view, this is a bunch of, what word can we use? Road apples, if anybody knows what a road apple is, or a very large amount of BS to
bovine fecal matter is my favorite analogy for that.
Okay. And sewage. This is sewage.
That works as well.
Right. They're attacking the food system, and they're giving us the sewage that they can't figure out how to stun them.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, what did they do before they invented CO2 as a method to stun them? I mean, why don't you go to the guys who are pushing all the drugs and just, slip them a Mickey, right? The opioid crisis. I mean, surely the drug companies have an abundance of that. They could just, knock them all out. But it's ludicrous what they're saying to us.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so that gets back to, that our governments have been infiltrated. And there is a distinct actions of shutting down all of our necessary structures, such as food, such as water, such as electricity,
JC, back to the original thing that you brought up, the original premise. What is supposedly causing this gas infrastructure problem in the UK?
Well, I don't know about the shortage, how the shortage mm-hmm. Came about. But they're claiming that there's a very large shortage.
Yeah, I need to research that and see what they're saying is the reason for the shortage.
Yeah. But you can see part of the dominoes that they're claiming is now that the UK fertilizer plants have to shut down. And, of course, with the hurricane in New Orleans, one of the largest producers, the same company, shut down their production. What was it? The CF Donaldsonville, Louisiana plant declared force majeure last week, probably 2 weeks ago by now. But so now fertilizer is being shut down.
Mm-hmm.
You think that will have any effects? And so you're looking, you go, it looks like we have a bunch of, I don't know how to describe it. It looks like somebody is controlling all of the Western governments to shut down the necessities of life. And of course, if we get into the COVID issue, look at what's happening in Australia. And Italy just came out and approved the most strictest COVID-19 rules in the world, mandating that all private and public sector employees get the vaccination.
So I can't speak to Italy, but I have been talking to friends in Australia because I, like you, hear some horrible things. And there are horrible things happening in New South Wales and in Victoria, Queensland, right, and Western Australia, and I think South Australia. Pretty much life is like you and I, for you and I. But what's happening in New South Wales, particularly Melbourne, oh my goodness, they're forced jabbing people.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, I watch what's known as future language, you know, because we have found some ways to really check into the future, and it's fairly accurate. And what they literally came out and said is, watch for a massacre. We think it'll be in Australia. And if you look, the articles today were that the Australian police are bringing out the billy clubs. Well, you know, if you've monitored this for a while, you know that the Australians passed a law probably about 5 years ago or 4 years ago, confiscating all guns. Well, it didn't really happen like that, but the Aussies aren't quite that obeying. And I remember reading a report that the more on the crime side said, no way, we're going to keep ours.
Right.
So the Australians still have guns. Not as many as they would want.
Well, okay, let's back that up. The Australians in Queensland and Western Australia still have guns. I'm guessing the folks in Melbourne were the first ones to say, hey, here, take mine. I want to get crime off the streets, and Sydney as well. So you may have accidentally just brought a correlation there that I don't have any science to back up, but it makes sense.
Yeah. And so if you add in the future language, it looks like they're going to push the people to the point of killing a lot of police. And then that will ripple through the world.
Mm-hmm.
Where people are learning the facts about this toxic jab.
It is a toxic jab. We'll talk about that maybe in the next segment. But I did want to put a word of caution in on just reading any reporting and taking it as fact. Because, right, I don't know if you caught this yesterday or not, the White House and even Fox News was talking about, we have to be careful. The Border Patrol agents now are seen with whips with these illegals that are hung out. They're hanging out in Del Rio. Did you go see what their whips were?
No.
They were horseback Border Patrol agents, and they were reins in their hands. And the people in the White House thought they had whips, and they were simply holding a split rein. And so then there's a whole other dissertation of people putting together this program explaining what a split rein is. It's like, are you kidding me, people?
This is
basic stuff. When you ride a horse, you have a rein. It's not a whip.
Right. How are we doing on time?
1 minute.
Okay. So there are some very strange things. One thing during the Obama administration, they changed the law. There was some law. But they changed it where the U.S. government is now allowed to lie and give us propaganda. And if you do a web search, you'll come up with the change. And so, I mean, imagine that. They actually changed the law that said that the U.S. government is allowed to promote propaganda. And then the other thing is, if you look at the Biden administration, something like 25 people in the Biden administration came from one company. One firm.
What?
Yes. Oh, yeah. There was this lobbying firm in Washington, and 25 of the top people, including Jan, whatever her name is, right, all came from this firm.
That doesn't seem suspicious at all.
No, not at all.
I'm sure they were the most qualified for their position, Jason.
Right. And it wasn't Goldman Sachs, so I think they're upset.
Karen Staley is upset that you have not contacted her yet to get your CD of the Arise USA songs. that you should listen to every day. This bring back wonderful feelings of our trip that you were able to accompany us on. KarenStaley.com. For $20, you can get all four songs, and a portion of the proceeds go to the causes. KarenStaley.com. We'll be back with the last JCCole.com after this. Welcome back, Rural Route. We are into the final segment, just like that. Boom. Where does time go?
It was a quick one.
I wonder why Australia suddenly has become the epicenter. Do you have a theory on that?
I actually, in some ways, do. If we had some form of catastrophic happening to the earth, mm-hmm. such as maybe what's happening over there in the Canary Islands, right? That I think our military would know about it. And the two safest places pretty much on the earth are New Zealand and Australia. And you know, we have what, 7.5 billion people? 7.5 billion people won't be able to get to New Zealand. You know, if you think they only have like, 10 million people and almost 70 million sheep. So it's a pretty good place if all of a sudden there's a problem with the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we do see that we have a solar minimum coming, which will disrupt all of the, or most of the weather patterns and therefore the food production. So it doesn't sound unreasonable that a good place to go to get away from everything or bug out, as they say, is New Zealand. And you actually see this guy who was, Peter Thule, who was the multi-billionaire for I think PayPal. He somehow got right past all immigration in New Zealand and bought a large facility where he can bug out to.
Somehow,
yes. Yeah, he just kind of bypassed all those requirements. So it's similar to a lot of people down on our southern border.
I think that he's at a different level of economic bypass, though.
Yeah. Yes, he has. He has one of those Learjet 550s that can fly halfway around the world on one tank of gas.
Yeah.
And I think they're like $40 million.
I'm guessing he wasn't hanging out under a bridge waiting for somebody to open the gate.
No. But I am curious if they'll make him take the COVID test.
Yeah. Well, it's reported that they've been very strict on that, but.
Well, if you look at New Zealand, they locked down the entire country for one COVID case.
Yeah.
One. And you're like, wait, this is just ridiculous. So something else is happening. And yeah, actually,
New Zealand's had a zero visitor policy since day one, right? Nobody can come or go.
I actually don't know.
I'm pretty sure.
But if you listen to the prime minister, this woman, theoretically, if you listen to her, she actually says quote for quote things out of George Orwell's 1984.
Really?
Like we're the government. You can trust us. Don't listen to anybody else.
Nice.
Yeah. And you're like, you must be kidding me.
I have to ask you about this. Trudeau, did they really reelect him?
Well, if we look at what the words you use is, they reelected him. No. The scoreboard said he was reelected.
Oh, you know? Goodness.
Yeah, I think the Canadians are like scratching their head going, what? Yeah. And of course, the same in California.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody buys that one.
Right.
Well, that was another thing about Australia that my friend Trent Thorne shared with me 2 weeks ago when I contacted him and we were hearing crazy stories, and he's in Queensland. But what he was most perplexed by was that we know that Australia, in certain states, again, New South Wales and Victoria, had been very aggressive on anti-freedom, anti-liberty policies when it comes to COVID. And Trent said, well, what's most amazing about that is that they've had some elections and the people who were in place in offices who created the most egregious lockdowns were reelected.
Yeah.
And I said, well, Trent, I got to ask you the question. Are you using machines? And he said, no, we do all paper balloting and no machines are used to count them. Well, at least we know there's no corruption when people count.
No, not at all. So it looks like this is almost like a world conspiracy. And of course, that can't exist because we know the CIA told us conspiracy theories don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay. So, you know, it gets back to the beginning of our talk today, you know, John Paul Jones, I've not yet begun to fight. And then he kicked the crap out of the British. Sewage out of the British.
But the significant part of that story was he got off of his ship before it sank.
Yes.
If we don't wake up and get off the ship before it sinks, then what?
And that's exactly what, remember, my project is. You're basically on a big ship called the USS, United States Corporation. It's showing signs of sinking. Where's your lifeboat?
Right.
Right. And so you create your lifeboat, and the best combination is actually your community, you know, is able to do it. If you can get enough people to wake up and begin to fight. Now, that doesn't mean violence. No, that means pushing back. You know, like with Aikido, use their momentum against them to throw them to the ground, right? And we're coming to that point. We're coming to that point. I think what happens is they want us to start fighting in violence.
Yeah, I agree. What it also means, and this is my ultimate pet peeve, is that when they come and tell you that your kid, 5 to 11 years old, should be jabbed with a toxic poison, as a parent, are you going to do the right thing and say, no way in hell? Are you going to just say, oh, well, okay, because it's your kid's future?
Yeah. And I think what we'll see right about now for the next few weeks is a huge amount of information being released on, one, these people in position of control, and two, on this fake pandemic, which it looks like there is a real disease. It looks like it has possibly bacteria in it that knocks you over and gives them the right to, or not the right, put you in the hospital. And then from the hospital, they have a mandate coming down from Fauci of what, how to treat it, which kills you. Remdesivir shuts down your kidney and gives you your pneumonia, and then they put you on a ventilator, and that's it. And so I know this is affecting a lot of us. My best friend right now is down. Fortunately, we got him into ivermectin. And so it looks like he's starting to respond. But I myself got knocked off, and I understand that you lost your brother.
Correct. Same exact story that you just walked through.
Yeah, this is a war. Mm-hmm. We have to wake up. We have to begin to fight. It's like I had friends in, this goes way back. I had friends in 9/11 in the Twin Towers. They're gone. It's a war. And people just don't realize it, you know, and again, you know, the supreme art of war is to subdue the enemy without fighting. We're not fighting because we don't recognize who the enemy is.
No, you summarized it earlier. You lead your enemy, and we have too many people recognizing the government as part of the solution when, in fact, they are the problem.
Well, the government's fractured. And so part of it controls Hollywood. Part of it controls the news and therefore the propaganda machine. And then, of course, you get the White House now just spitting out propaganda. And when will people wake up and say, this doesn't, you know, this is wrong. This doesn't check. This is again, sewage.
One final thing, JC, and we have 2 minutes. I had a friend send me a post, and I'm throwing it out there for credibility purposes. I don't know that it's credible, that 85% of the crankshafts on all semis on the road have one source.
Mm.
And that source went down, and you can't get a crankshaft.
I would not be surprised by that. These economics scale monsters that, you know, are no longer family owned or are run by, you know, just administrators, mm-hmm. when they go down, that's it.
Yeah.
And so,
well, again, I think we're seeing that now with beyond just semis. I mean, how many people do you know that have got a pickup they can't get a part for?
Right. Right. And now, by the way, the supply chain has not broken. What happens is we see signs of it cracking. Believe me, I lived in an area where the supply chain didn't exist, right? Where you could, you know, you couldn't get food, you know? Again, we have to prepare ourselves where we have food 3 months, a year is best. We have fuel, and look at the attack on fuel happening in the energy, and get ready for a lack of telecommunications. Because this is all brewing to a big fight.
I want to finish up where we started, because by this conversation, you really drew a parallel. If you'll remember, when the entire epidemic, and for all radio listeners, I'm using those air quotes, pandemic began, we had a situation where we could not get milk to the infrastructure of food from farm to fork. We had animals that could not get from farm to fork, and those animals were euthanized and buried, wasted. And that was all because COVID was a problem in the plants with the labor. And now in the UK, we see the same exact outcome, but they found another supposed reason to get the same outcome. How many times do you have to see that parallel before you say, wait a minute, this doesn't fly?
Yeah, and they're using trucking also. Oh, there's a shortage of truckers. So they're applying it in many different areas. Same structure, different content.
That will be the last word of the day from J.C. Cole. We've successfully journeyed down the road, connecting rural and urban America. Both of us remind you that all roads do lead to a rural route.
Remember, certified Piedmontese paves the way to your future.